your team is actually a reflection of what you allow. It's a reflection of what you hire, and it's a reflection of what you tolerate. Someone is being recruited into our ecosystem, into our team. The first question is, the team, the culture, the soil that drives all business value, it grows all business value. It's stuck because you've got a team that needs a bunch of work.
If you're anything like me, you want a team that moves the whole salon forward without you pushing for every little thing. Today, we're cracking open the three simple rules that separate the teams that just get by from badass self-driven teams. And if you've ever hired an extra pair of hands and then wondered like why growth was flatlining, you'll hear the mindset shift that fixes everything. If you've felt like the salon culture is, you know, a bit off, you'll get the exact lens to set standards that actually stick. And if you're done carrying the energy for everybody else, like you need to be the one in the salon to lift the energy, you'll learn how to attract bar raises that lift the whole room. Here are the three rules of badass teams, rules that you can implement immediately to raise the standards, recruit smarter, and spark initiative across the whole salon team. Let's get out of the rescue mode hire and into building a team that you genuinely are proud of.
Hey team, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Joel, and I'm so super excited to talk to you today about the three rules to building a badass team, Now, here at Salon Owners Collective, we actually, last year in December, we sat down and we were like, what does a badass team mean to us? And we actually created an acronym around each of the letters in badass. And it's been really great because, as you're probably aware, when you create something together with your team, there's far more ownership and buy-in. It's not like we created it and, you know, the team has to abide by it, otherwise they're not part of the team. It's not like that. It's more like we created this thing, and therefore when at the front end of our team meeting, we say, hey, where have you seen somebody else in the team being a badass in the last week or 2 weeks? It's kind of like this, well, we created it and now we're seeing it and we're feeding what it means to be a great team member here at Salon Owners Collective. So when I say three rules to building a badass team, for us, there's an acronym that underpins badass, but for you, I mean badass in the positive, negative tense, which is an epic team. What are the three rules to building an epic team? I think deep down, we all want a team that, you know, steps up at the right time, often even, that shows up, that that drives your salon forward without you always needing to step in. I think that's important. But I also believe that you don't get a dream team by accident. It's the sort of thing that you have to build, and you've got to build it with intention. You've got to build it with clarity. And you've also got to build it with this thing called culture. And I reckon one of the biggest mistakes, one of the things that stop us from building an incredible dream team is that we hire casually. I think often we manage reactively. And then we play this game of hoping for loyalty. And we're hoping for, oh gosh, I hope this person's got batteries included and they've got a lot of initiative. And we do this without ever ourselves stepping up and setting the standard. And the truth of the matter is that your team is actually a reflection of what you allow. It's a reflection of what you hire, and it's a reflection of what you tolerate. So if you want a badass team, which I know you do, of course you do, if you want a badass team, then I think there's like an overarching principle that I need to land before we dive into the three rules, if that's okay. So the overarching principle for a badass team would be know thy culture. You have to be really clear about what the culture is that you want. You cannot protect, you cannot lead what you're not clear about. And just between me and the lamppost, I've talked to a lot of owners and they talk to me about toxic team members and they talk to me about team performance, flatlining, and they talk to me about all the problems and challenges around team. And I'm like, okay, what's the culture? Not what is it now, but what's the culture that you're trying to build? And they're like, oh, what do you mean? I'm like, what is the culture that you want your team to be? And there it is. It's right there. The writing's on the wall is often we're not quite sure. Like, we know we want our team to perform well. We know we want them to be happy and healthy. And that would be great. But many of us haven't actually articulated, like, what does that look like? What does that sound like? And when it doesn't happen, do I go into bat and stand for that? A coach, Ty Arnett, once said, and I always remember this, this was like 15 years ago when I had my first business. He said, protect your culture with extreme prejudice. And I think the first thing that I get from that is you can't do that unless you're really clear about what your culture is. And so this idea of knowing thy culture becomes really, really important. Metaphorically, I like to think about culture. It's the soil from which all business value grows. So we might be talking about profit. We might be talking about performance. We might be just talking about predictability in business. And that all starts with culture. And here's the tough part. Here's the confronting part is culture starts with you. It starts with you, the salon CEO, the leader, if you like. And so question for you is, what are you actually building when it comes to your team? What is it that you actually stand for? And what is it that you won't tolerate anymore? And I think once you get clear about the kind of culture that you want to build, you stop attracting chaos, if I can say that, and you actually start building the legacy you've always wanted to build. And that could be around, like, I was sitting in Fiji not that long ago, and I was pushing. I was at the front of the room, and I was pushing people on the why. Like, why make an extra $100,000 in profit this year? Like, I was really pushing them because the money is, it's good and it's attractive to a certain level. But for many people, we need a deeper driver. And one of our salon owners was like, it's really simple. And the whole room leant in. For us, he says, and they lean in a little bit further, they listen a little bit more. It's about helping our, they're a hair salon, helping our stylists and our support staff to actually go from where they are to where they could be. It's about them fulfilling their potential. And as we do that, not only does the business win, but also we win. So looking after our people is exactly why. And it was just like that's it. That's the legacy I guarantee they will be remembered for, revered for, and talked about in ways that they'll never even know. They're having such an incredible impact already. And if you're listening to this, you know exactly who you are. Okay, so the overarching principle of the three rules to building a badass team is you got to know thy culture. And if you don't know what your culture is, it's pretty hard to build something special. Okay, let's get into the three rules. So rule number one in building a badass team, a team that you are proud of, a team that has a high performance, like they are performing well, like they are hitting their KPIs, they are smashing old records, they're doing really, really well. I think the first rule is that you want to create bar raises. So you've ever heard the expression before, we need to raise the bar. Yeah, you might have heard that before when people are talking about teams, is we need to lift the bar. In times gone by, we've talked about we've got to pull up our socks. We've got to do better, right? And I think what I'm looking for when I'm employing people is we have a bar at Salon Owners Collective. Like, it's there. That's the bar. And I'm talking about that from a cultural cultural perspective, but also from a performance perspective as well. And when I know what the bar is and someone is being recruited into our ecosystem, into our team, the first question is this person a bar raiser? Are they going to lift the bar? This is a fundamental question. And you could even play this game, write all your team members down, and just like anecdotally, just high level, is Jemima a bar raiser? Is Sally a bar raiser? Yay or nay? And if it's a nay, well, you've got some work to do. You, the CEO, the owner, the leader, the captain, you've got work to do. And if it's a yes, you've also got work to do. One of those is celebrate, high five, encourage. But there's always work to do. But what that does is it gets you primed and tuned that in your next hire, and by the way, there'll be a next hire. Like, the goal is not to get to a point where like no one's ever going to leave. You know, the goal is actually to have the systems to deal with the impact of business as usual. And business as usual includes that at some point someone's going to leave. So when you recruit someone new, we want to make sure that they are going to be a bar raiser. They're going to lift the bar. Culturally, they're going to lift it. So thing for you to think about is, do I know where my bar is at? Like, do I know what that is? The other thing that I would shine the light on is your job is to remind people with frequency of where it is. Now, you might be thinking, Joel, how do I do that?
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community and other $1 million-plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
And the way that you do that is when you're in the salon, you uplift, edify, and encourage all of the behaviors that are like, that's it. That's the vision. That's the values in action. That's the process. That's exactly how we trained it. You got to be that person that calls out the greatness. And you got to do that to the point, this is very, very important for your leadership philosophy, you've got to do that to the point where your team start to roll their eyes. That's when you know that it's starting to get through. Like, yeah, Joel, we know. Here we go again. Joel's telling us again. And I don't mean like you do it to the point where your staff hate you, but it's just like if you are going to go on and on and on about something, make sure it's the vision and when it's been met or when it hasn't been met as well. The other thing about employing bar raisers is if someone is a bar raiser in your team, which I hope there's many, and you employ someone that pulls the bar down, it's going to create tension in the team. And often the team don't know how to identify that tension. They don't know how to compartmentalize it. Like they'll go, oh yeah, she's a big mouth. She's a narcissist. But people don't understand fundamentally that you've just employed someone who's not of the same caliber and capability of the team that you've already got. And it's the hard and honest truth is that going forward, you need to actually step into this idea of like, is this person first and foremost a bar raiser? Yeah. Because then the culture becomes self-reinforcing. You just employ a whole lot of bar raisers. And it actually means that you don't just build a team, but you actually build a standard that lives inside of your team. And that's important. Okay, so three rules to building a badass team. Number one is you want to create bar raisers, and the easiest way to do that is to employ them. The second one, and I'm going to stick with recruitment a little bit longer. You might be thinking, well, Joel, this is all good, but I'm not recruiting at the moment. Okay, just brain tattoo for you. You're always recruiting. Always have an ad out there. Always be looking for talent. Always be looking for the unicorn. Always be looking for rule number two in building a badass team is employ eights or nines. And I know this seems really subjective and it almost borders on unfairness. But at the end of the day, when you're employing someone, they need to be an 8 or a 9 out of 10. And I think what I'm really saying there is don't settle. There'll be a narrative, as there is in every industry and depending on times, that sort of suggests that, you know, it's okay. You know, you just need an extra pair of hands. Like an extra pair of hands is going to go a long way. We just need somebody to do the thing and it's all good. But actually, you're sabotaging your vision. You're putting the brakes on the speed in which you would otherwise get there by employing a 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, please don't ever go there, 2 out of 10, right? And when I am using these numbers, I'm using them pretty loosely, but there's a couple of specifics that I want to speak to. Number one, when I say 8 or 9 out of 10, they have the skill, the capability, the know-how, the experience to be able to step into your world, be it skin or hair, and execute value, execute services, execute impact, raise the bar and contribute to the service menu in a way that's meaningful and valuable. So in the first instance is skill. And don't get me wrong, like I'm huge on soft skills, but hard skills that get the job done. Now, the only reason you wouldn't employ an 8 or a 9 out of 10, like you'd let it slide to a 7, is because you have a boot camp, onboarding, academy, training system that can fast track someone's skills from a 7, maybe a 6. Like maybe you're really good at training and you can get them up to an 8 in a relatively short amount of time. And they're eventually going to be a really, really significant bar raiser. So that would be the caveat, is that if you've got an excellent training program. The second piece of employing 8 or 9s is that they have the character. And I think this is useful for us to actually spend some time on. Like if you could only choose 3 character traits that someone has when they join your team, and those character traits would not only make them a great hire in the first 6 weeks, that also make them a great hire in the first 6 months, but also over the next 6 years, it would have been an incredibly positive decision. My question to you is, what are those 3 character traits? Because if you get really clear about those character traits and you're already really clear about the skills, now you go to the marketplace with an advert, you go to the interview with a mindset of knowing exactly what you're looking for. And instead of defaulting to, I'll take an extra pair of hands or someone that's empathetic and a 5 out of 10 with skill, you're actually showing up really quite particular, really quite discerning. Like it's not about not being a nice person or not being kind. It's like literally you are looking for something quite special, and your ad and your interviews and your questions should pierce the attention of whoever's watching. So it's a hell yes for some, actually very few, and it's a really clear no for the rest. I think part of creating a badass team is actually number two, employing 8 or 9s. So let's just summarize here, because what we're talking about is how do you build a team, not just for 2026, but also a team that's going to help you to smoothly deal with the challenges of 2030. So we're, 4 or 5 years away from 2030. By then, we expect that the impact of technology will not be a secret anymore, will be quite well known. And for those of us that are doing well, we actually are doing now really, really well. And I think part of that is making sure that you're on the front foot with building a badass team. We know that overarching, we want to know thy culture. We want to be clear about the culture that we're going into bat for every single day. Like if you're going to say something at the team meeting or at the daily huddle or in your one-on-one leadership walks or wherever it is, it should be speaking to what's missing, the gap, what is no longer acceptable, or what is being lit up and the people that are breathing life into the thing that is going so, so well. So we need to know thy culture. Part of that is the 3 rules of building a badass team. Number one, create bar raises, employ bar raises. Number two, make sure you're recruiting 8 or 9s out of 10. What we really mean by that is no more rescue hires or people that are just like an extra pair of hands. You're building a culture of excellence, not just covering shifts anymore. And then the last one, if I may, is you want to, number three would be to demand initiative. I think this is certainly one of the character traits that I would say is definitely in the top three for us here at Salon Owners Collective. I think skills get the job done, but who here has had a stylist or a therapist before that has all the training, all the skills? They've got the bit of paper that says they can do the job, but it still feels like something's missing. So I think you should definitely look at skills, and they should be an 8 or a 9 out of 10 when it comes to the skills that you're employing. But initiative is what builds culture. This willingness to step forward when no one else has stepped forward yet. I think we also see initiative being like almost definition wise, you assume responsibility. You assume it. You take it. You grab it. You look out for it. Your demeanor has energy. It has optimism. You see the glass as half full. You look for the good. There's an element of ownership. Like, this is the role I've been given, and I'm going to own it. I'm not going to just get by or do the bare minimum or clock in, clock out. No, it's about give. How much can I give? Because in every give, there's always reciprocity, whether it comes through remuneration, whether it comes through role upgrade, or there's so many ways that you experience reciprocity when you give. And I know that as owners, you want to give so much to your team. And so we've got to look out for, but also demand initiative in our people. We've got to tell them what initiative is. We've got to role model initiative. We've got to celebrate and reward initiative. I think fundamentally it's the ability to see and solve without waiting. And when that starts to happen for owners, when they're away, when they're in Fiji hanging out with SOC, when they go to Bali for a week or two, and they see their team members, managers, leadership team stepping up and taking initiative, it is the character trait that I would I would almost go it's number one. It's like it's very close to number one. But it doesn't matter what it is for me. It matters what is it for you. And so I really, really want to encourage you today to be speaking into initiative and to be clarifying for your team what that looks like. Maybe in front of you, as we start to wrap up this particular podcast, some questions for you to reflect on is who are my bar raisers? Who are my bar raisers? And to those people, actually to you, I say, make sure those people get the very best of your positive attention. Like you're going to need to distribute evaluation and encouragement amongst your team ongoing for the rest of your life. And I think all of us have got work to do in both areas, but make sure your encouragement goes mostly to those that are already doing a great job. Like they should get morally and respectfully the lion's share of your encouragement and energy, because what will happen is other people will sense and see that, want that, and therefore start to model the behaviors that your best people, your bar raisers, are demonstrating. I think the other thing to do is to possibly go, who are my eight and nines? Who are my sevens? Who are my sixes? And what can I do? What system can I integrate and put in place to get them to an eight as soon as possible? Because a team full of eights naturally evolve into a team full of nines. You know, you are who you surround yourself with. You just become the very, very best. But if you're split between like, I got three nines, two eights, and a whole bunch of fives, like no wonder revenue's flatlining. Like, can you see that? It's like the team, the culture, the soil that drives all business value, it grows all business value. It's stuck because you've got a team that needs a bunch of work. And then maybe one other thing to think about is your recruitment ad. Like we put a lot of energy and resource and time into making sure that your ads cut through the noise. There's thousands upon thousands of ads out there. And most people looking at those ads are looking for the comparison around remuneration. So let's just say that you are competitive in the industry when it comes to remuneration. What you really want to make sure that you're demonstrating is that your team is the flower. Your team is the flower and that bees like to come to flowers. So that's what you're putting out there is an ad that communicates we are something incredible. And if you want something to belong to, if you want a place in this group of people, you're going to have to earn the right to get into this because it's something bloody special and not everyone can get into it. Okay. I hope this has been useful. I hope if anything, it started to remind you of the importance of what it means to know your culture and to elevate your team, to elevate your culture by a few simple decisions, behaviors, and activities that you can do every single week to bring out the very best in your team. And in doing so, give them a sense of possibility about who they can become and therefore mobilize the vision of the business. I hope it's been useful. If you have any feedback or questions about the podcast, pop them below in the comments. I'll be really happy to answer those. All right, until next time, take care.
And that's a wrap. And after hearing those three rules, you're probably already thinking about a few people in your team right now. Who's the bar raiser? Who's your 6 out of 10 that maybe needs a bit of love and support? And who's just not the right fit anymore? Here's the thing. Building a badass team doesn't happen by accident. It's about getting intentional with your culture, your hiring, and your standards. And if you're sitting there thinking, yep, I need to get clear on this, but I don't know where to start. This is literally what we do inside of Seller Mastery. And so if you want to stop the rescue hires, step into your role as a salon CEO and finally build a team that performs without you having to do all of the things, this is my invitation to you to chat. You're very welcome to book a strategy call with me. We're going to map out and make a plan to get you unstuck and build that dream team that you so desperately want and to grow your salon forward. Maybe you're already at 500K and you want to get to the million million mark desperately. Maybe you're already at a million and we just need to focus on optimizing and profitability and developing that leadership team. Either way, you're going to walk out away with clarity from that strategy call. And let's see if Sell on Mastery is the right fit for you, for where you are in business right now. And let's help you make it happen. You can book that strategy call using the link in the show notes of this episode. But to be honest, it's everywhere. It's on the dub, in the bio on Insta. It's pretty easy to find. That is a wrap from me. And until next week, same time, same place, go build that badass team. Ciao.